Attorney is sponsored by the Law Offices of Joe Pippin. Learn more at attypip.com.
Ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Yeah, it's 8:02 on a Saturday morning, and we're open just for you. If you have a legal question or a problem, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Question can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, can be just about any area of law. And it doesn't have to be a legal question. Can just be a problem. If I can help you with a problem of any sort, all you have to do is to dial that number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. We have a lot of questions about estate planning. What happens with estates? What happens if you pass away with assets just in your name? And sometimes assets just in your name, or most, unless it has a beneficiary, it's going to go through probate. We had a case where someone had a trust and they left a third to one of their children. They called me to do an amendment to change the third to a special needs distribution so it wouldn't count against them for getting government benefits, and they died before they signed it. And now we're attempting to petition the court to modify the distribution even though it wasn't signed. And we think we're going to be successful in that. A judge will be sympathetic to that cause. Person called, gave me instructions on what he wanted to do. The third stayed the same to the same person. It was just going to be, the language was going to be altered in the amendment to change it so it would not interfere with government benefits. So we think the judge will take my testimony and we probably can get that changed without too much difficulty. All right, let's go to Eddie in Tampa.
Hi there, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I have a question. Can you explain the basic difference between a trust and a power of attorney, please?
Well, sure. A living trust is just a fancy will. A living trust or a will are going to have instructions about who's going to take over upon death and pay the bills and make the distribution according to your instructions. Power of attorney is so someone has the power. Our power of attorney right now has 106 different powers, and the powers are of anything you could do. There's a power listed for someone else to do of your choice to be able to help you if you can't do it. And the power of attorney, unlike a will and trust, kick into effect upon death. Power of attorney kicks into effect as soon as you sign it and is void upon death. And the power of attorney, of course, doesn't have any distribution language. It doesn't have any instructions on what to do with assets upon death.
Got it. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have an awesome day.
Yeah, do you have a will or a trust? Do you have a will or a trust?
Actually, I have a will, and I also have a power of attorney form executed.
Okay. Well,
I was just wondering.
Yeah, your will take place upon death, your instructions, and your power of attorney gives them someone the power to act in your behalf while you're living. Power of attorney should be updated, by the way, about every 3 or 4 years to keep current dates on them.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
I have to update it. Okie dokie, sir. I I appreciate your answers.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law, and I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, and if you have a legal question, I'm here to help, and you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Bob calling. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Joe. I'm not really calling about a legal question. I just wanted to report on some advice that was given on your show.
Okay.
Remember the traffic attorney? I think his name is Chamberlain that you had on a while
back?
Yeah,
Hunter Chamberlain, uh-huh.
Hunter Chamberlain, that's the guy. Anyway, I had an accident, and he advised me to go to court and contest it. And then he called me back off the air, and I talked with him about the case. And anyway, and it turned out to be very good because I went to court and had a Zoom call, and the turned out as he had suggested that if the other guys showed up to plead no contest and withhold adjudication, and if the other guy's attorney didn't show up, I mean the other witness, the other driver didn't show up, then to request dismissal. Well, it turned out that the other guy's officer did by Zoom call from their phone in the police car. But that's because the officer didn't witness the actual infraction. The other guy didn't show up, and the judge automatically—I didn't even have to request the other guy. The judge automatically dismissed the case.
There you go. Yeah,
so anyway,
a lot of times you get tickets, and the officer wasn't even there. He can't really be a witness as to what actually happened. He can only be a witness to what someone else said, and whatever someone else said is not there. I mean, it's you got good advice, and I'm glad you really got a good outcome. So
yeah, the other thing was that too is I think too is that the fact that the other driver, since he was not charged, he had no incentive to show up.
Exactly.
You know, to show up. So. Well, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that it worked out good.
I'm glad it did. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
All right. Sometimes when someone calls and starts a question like that, I'm kind of holding my breath, hoping that was a good outcome. Because, you know, not all outcomes are good, even if you had good advice. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. You know that is the fun of doing live radio, by the way. Because, you know, I can't really prepare for a show. I mean, I prepare every week by practicing law and talking to lots of people and their circumstances and giving advice and so forth. So I have plenty of practice answering questions, even on the radio and in person. But I never really know what I'm going to be asked. So I can prepare generally as I practice law. I'm preparing myself to every day, learning something often in new circumstances and how to deal with them. But I can't prepare for the show. I can't prepare for your question. I haven't met you, and I don't know what you're going to ask me yet. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. I've been hosting Ask an Attorney for 37 years. We started in 1984. And I've done a continual show every week on usually multiple stations. So it's nationally syndicated for 2 years. And if I can help you, I'd love to try. And you have a toll-free number if you want to call the show. Phone lines are open right now at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Be glad to talk to you. So one of my questions I had this week from one of my clients was, well, why do I need a will if I'm doing a trust? Why do I need both? Thought if I was going to have a living trust prepared, I wouldn't need a will. Well, the answer to that question is when you do a trust, you have what's called a pour-over will, P-O-U-R. And what a pour-over will does, it says I leave everything to my trust. You know, that I forgot, it doesn't say that I forgot to put in my trust, but the example is if you had 5 bank accounts and you created a trust and you went to 4 banks and you got four bank accounts retitled your name, trustee, date of trust, but you never got around to getting the fifth one into the trust. Well, the pour over will leaves that fifth one to the trust. But unfortunately, that would go through a probate process. The four you put in there would be probate free. The fifth one that you didn't get around to putting in there would go through probate. So it's called a pour over will. Pour over wills also take care of personal effects, jewelry, furniture, knickknacks, collectibles. That's what's called a separate writing. Pour over wills also, if you have a minor child, appoint the guardian. So the pour over will has multiple purposes. I think it's a necessary document when you do a trust. It's kind of a catch-all safety document to catch up loose ends that are not covered by the trust upon death. All right, let's go to Justin in Jacksonville.
Hello.
All right, Justine. Okay. What can I do for you? Hi.
My question is, I have a property that's already paid off, and I have a little savings and a little 401k. I make a living will. I get it from the internet, and I went to the post office, or at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. something, and I let them sign because I went to travel before.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
just to prepare, is that legal, and how long it will get it takes? Because I use it like 2019, and I went travel, and still right now I did not change that.
Well, to answer your question, I'd have to see the document. I mean, you can purchase documents on the internet, and you can go to a notary to have it witnessed and notarized. You can do all of that, and it might be fine, and it might work, but I can't really answer it unless I saw the document. I mean, you can and we don't charge anything to review documents. I mean, so if you wanted to send me a copy, you scan and email me a copy and ask me, is this valid? Hey, I'd be glad to look at it and not charge you. If you want to meet with me in Jacksonville, I have an office there, and I'm there quite often. I can meet with you and look at it. But let me ask you this question. So you have a will and a living will. So my question is, if you died, do you want your will to go through probate?
Yes, that's a living will, I guess.
A living will says if you're terminal, vegetative, unconscious, you don't want to be artificially prolonged.
So, yeah, I did put that, but I did not want to artificially prolong.
Do you have a living trust? Because you didn't say you did. You said you had a will and a living will. Do you have a living trust?
I'm a little confused there.
Yeah.
The
answer is I don't charge to review documents. If you want to meet with me or scan and email me the documents and have me look at them, I'd be more than happy to do. There's no charge to do that.
I see. Okay. Do you have any closest office here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, my office in Jacksonville is in Ponte Vedra.
Oh, okay. I'm close there. I'm just going to, what is the name of your office then?
Well, just the law office of Joseph Pippin. I'll give you my 800 number, because other people might want my phone number as well. 1-800.
Okay.
226.
1-800.
226. 3529.
3529. Okay. All right,
Justine.
So I'm going to get myself. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Ross in Tarpon Springs.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I have a question. It's probably out of your, I've listened to you for a long time, and there doesn't seem to be anything out of your realm. And I appreciate very much your show. I learn a lot from it.
Well, thank you.
My question is, well, you're quite welcome, sir. It's well earned. My question is, I was going to make a purchase on a medical alert bracelet. And I want to effect a do not resuscitate order. And I'm told that, first of all, let me ask you, do you have any knowledge regarding that particular area?
The DNRs?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Let me say this. The DNR is a medical document. I mean, a doctor has to sign that. It's a yellow sheet. And doctors will discuss that with you. And if you want one and they seem inappropriate, they will issue one. The legal document that I do is the living will. So the living will says
Mr. Pippin,
yes.
Excuse me. Let me tell you what I know. I already have the yellow sheet. I have one posted on my refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
and I have one in my wallet. What I've learned so far is as follows: that the state of Florida does not recognize a DNR bracelet. Is that correct?
I can't say absolutely. I know the answer to that.
Okay. My second question is.
I think they're going to need to see a doctor sign a signed note, the yellow sheet. But you know,
right?
You know, I think some would and some wouldn't. But I think legally they would have to should see the yellow sheet.
Right. Well, that leads me to the if my information is correct, if they do not recognize.
Yeah, I would guess they do not. Yes. Okay,
they do not recognize that. So what I was thinking about doing is buying the bracelet and say, have it inscribed. You know, you have to, like, I'm diabetic or I'm this or I'm that. They'll certainly observe that and act accordingly. But as far as the DNR, I was thinking about putting C wallet / refrigerator for DNA order, DNR order. So I'm told that for example, if you're in an accident on the highway,
mm-hmm.
they will resuscitate you anyway. Do you know about that?
Well, yeah, because they're not doctors, and they. Hey, let me tell you my experience with DNR.
Okay, very good. I'm listening.
I'm not going to have one.
Okay.
just to give you a heads up, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly why. Why my mother passed away December. Prior to her death, she had several times where she passed out and went to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
Each of those times, prior to the one story I'm going to tell you, it was simply a matter of not hydrating herself.
Okay.
Which I see as a common issue with elderly people don't hydrate themselves sometimes and they pass out. So in each one of the prior occasions, they hydrated her, and almost in every one of those on the same day she came home.
Okay.
So the last time she went to the hospital and had passed out because of that, hit her, you know, she never broke a bone, thank goodness, but she went to the hospital. The doctor calls me and says, hey, you know, your mom, I knew she was there, is here. And we looked at her record, and she has a DNR. And started talking about they weren't going to do anything for her. I mean, she's 96 years old, and, you know, she's DNR. I said, listen, doctor, if you don't if it's probably a matter of dehydration. So if you don't hydrate her and do everything you can for her, I'm going to consider that malpractice. Because I don't want to hear you're not going to do anything for my mother.
Yeah, I understand.
And this doctor was interpreting what a DNR meant in the circumstances she was in that I totally disagreed with.
Okay.
So I like my living will that says two doctors have to determine your vegetative, terminal, vegetative, you know, end stage, no chance of recovery of having a normal life. Yeah, I would rather much myself be in that circumstance before anything's disconnected or not done for me.
Well, I certainly follow that logic, sir.
And
okay,
you know what?
Well,
if there's a doctor out there, what I would love to do, and I've been looking for a doctor to do a Zoom seminar with me where a doctor and I can just discuss this. I'm not going to argue with him and get mad with him or anything. I just want to discuss the choice between the clients have between DNRs and living wills and whether they need one or both, you know, and how it's supposed to work.
Okay. Well, no personal reflection on you, but I was thinking what I could do, and I would like to hear what your opinion is regarding this idea. I was thinking about maybe going to the firehouse because usually the first responders are going to be dispatched.
Yeah.
From the fire department, I would think. I'm not sure about that, but I would think that would be true. I thought I'd go to the firehouse and ask whoever is in the administration that would answer probably public relations or some kind
of consumer advocate. Well, ask them what their rules are. They train their employees on what they're going to do.
Right. That's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
Most of the time, if you call the rescue squad to come get you, I mean, something's happened, and somebody calls a rescue squad.
Right.
They're not doctors that are arriving on the scene, so doctors can't. Right. These rescue people do whatever they can to keep you going, to get you to the hospital so a doctor
can
analyze.
Analyze
what the appropriate situation would be. And it might be disconnect everything. If you got a living will and everything, is going to be disconnect everything.
Right.
And unless it's so obvious of what your circumstance is. You know, a lot of people have strokes, so they get resuscitated, and then they get the shot, whatever that shot is, within a couple of hours, and they're fine. I mean, they get back 95% or something like that. Why wouldn't you want a doctor? Why wouldn't you want the rescue squad to do everything they can for you and get you to the hospital and let two doctors determine the situation as opposed to DNR?
Well, I can follow that logic. And by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that I'm very sorry for the loss of your mother.
Well, thank you. She had a good long life. She didn't die of COVID. She didn't die of any major illness. In 96, she just kind of wore out, but she had a great life. And she was ready to go. But I appreciate that very much, and thank you.
You're quite welcome, sir, and I'll continue listening because I can continue to want to learn. So thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you so much. Hey, we're about halfway through the show. If you want to call in, we have open lines right now. We have a toll-free number for you at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Hey, so if you're a doctor and would like to do a Zoom seminar on living wills and DNRs, hey, I'm looking for someone to call where we could have a fun educational seminar, take questions from a Zoom audience, or take questions from the chat room, however that goes, and do something that would benefit the community. Because I think people need to understand the difference. And I've had what appeared to me very healthy, say 60-year-olds, 50, 60-year-olds, come into my office and tell me they had a DNR. And I'm thinking, why? You're healthy. Why? If you're a healthy person, why would you want a DNR? And why would a doctor even sign? I'd love to ask a doctor, would you sign a DNR for a healthy 60-year-old, 50-year-old? And why? So I'd love to get some of those answers and love to do a Zoom seminar with a doctor. To educate myself, too. I mean, hey, let's go to Chris in Clearwater.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris.
Hey, I'm a physician assistant. I've been a physician assistant for 22 years, and I can answer some of those questions that you have. For starters, a DNR does not have to be on a yellow piece of paper. It says right on the bottom of the DNR that a facsimile of this DNR is enforceable. So it can be on a white piece of paper.
Okay, that's fine.
Also, a verbal DNR is good for 24 hours. So if the ER doctor calls the family doctor and the family doctor gives a verbal because he knows the patient, it's good for 24 hours until someone signs it. So there's another good caveat. Also, a DNR doesn't take place until the patient actually dies. So your discussion about the IV fluid, the physician in that was wrong, and you were correct about that. The patient actually has to have what's called asystole, meaning no heartbeat or death, cardiac death, before the DNR goes into effect. So they can have pneumonia, they can have a broken leg, they can have a stroke, but as long as their heart's still beating, they're still alive. So you still do everything within your power to keep that person alive. Once they die, then their DNR takes effect. So that's basically what a DNR means. It doesn't mean let the patient die. It means once the patient is dead, don't try and bring it back from death. And the gentleman you had on before you with the 94-year-old woman, her body just got old. She wore out. I mean, that happens. You can't run a car, and get 400,000 miles on it. So once people understand what a DNR actually is, they can use it better. Comfort measures only or a living will, that's different. If you want your patient to be, your family member to be comfortable, no IV fluids, no feeding tube, that's a discussion you have to have with your doctor. And that has nothing to do with the DNR. Again, a DNR only takes effect once the patient is actually dead and not before. So.
All right. Have you seen people take wrong actions that had a DNR? I mean, if you...
I've seen people take wrong actions in both directions. I've seen people resuscitate DNRs because they didn't know that the DNR didn't have to be on a yellow piece of paper. Usually that was the paramedics. That fortunately has been changed in at least my county. It's a statewide law now in Florida. It's been that way for years now. People just sometimes don't understand it. So I have seen paramedics resuscitate patients. Most patients that get resuscitated don't make it anyway. When the heart wants to give out, it wants to give out. And then I've seen it go the opposite direction. Also, when patients get pneumonia and they get sick, sometimes the nurses were like, well, he's a DNR, so we're not going to do anything. Well, that's not the case. The patient's still alive. You still have to do something. You still have to treat the problem, treat the symptoms, treat the temperature, treat the pneumonia.
Yeah. Does the word resuscitate mean, does it include breathing in their mouth and pumping on their chest? Is it both of those included?
The ABCs are, the first one is airway. Airway is number one. So if they're still alive, if they want their airway, you can intubate a patient. Now you can also, in your living will, have a clause that says do not intubate. So if you don't intubate a patient, the heart will eventually stop. But yeah, we have ER doctors and EMTs that intubate patients all the time. They're DNRs. Again, their heart's still beating. If they still have a heart, if they're still alive, just because they had an anaphylactic reaction to a peanut. And their throat starts to swell, it doesn't mean you just let them die when they're 4 years old.
Yeah.
Not that they'd have a DNR if they're four. But, so yeah, you have to take it for what it's worth. The DNR is once the patient is actually dead. If they're still alive, then you treat them like they're still alive. You give them the medicine, you give them the IVs if the family wants it. And if the family doesn't want it, that's fine. That's their prerogative. And if the doctor doesn't want to agree that a 60-year-old wants a DNR, then she should get a new doctor, or he should get a new doctor. I mean, you do what the patient wants. Doesn't want to get a COVID shot, you can tell them, hey, you're making the wrong decision, but, yeah, you know, do what you want.
Well, I really appreciate giving this information. I have clients come in and say, well, look, you know, someone called 911, but they had a DNR in their fridge, and they took them away, and they're mad they took them to the hospital, but they were living. I mean, they had to.
Well, that's a discussion that the family needs to make before they have, this situation happen.
Yeah.
The family never wants to talk about it. They think grandma's going to live forever. And, even though grandma's a DNR, if she does have pneumonia, if she just fall out of the tub and break her hip and she's having a hard time breathing, the paramedics are going to take her because she's not dead yet.
Right, exactly.
They might put a pin in her hip. They get her up. They get her walking. They get her in therapy, and she's back to normal.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. I work with a lot of nursing home patients. I've been a PA for 22 years, so I've seen it go both ways. And, the correct way to do it is once a patient's dead and they have a DNR, you don't bring them back. But if they're still alive, do whatever you can to keep them alive unless the family wants something different. If they're going to be brain dead, if they're going to live in a persistent vegetative state, and you know they don't want that, or if the patient has a living will that states mm-hmm. that. A lot of times doctors have overturned
Chris, let me ask you this. You sound like a great person to do a Zoom seminar with. Would you want to come and do a Zoom seminar with me about living wills and DNRs?
I'd be happy to if you'd like me to.
All right. Well, let me give you my email address and send me an email, and we can discuss it off the air. So it's Joe, J-O-E.
I'm going to grab a pen. Hold on. I'm driving. I'll have my wrist right on.
All right.
I think we just saw a dead peacock on the side of the road. I'm pulling over to see.
We have peacocks running up and down up here. It's beautiful. Hold on 1 second, Joe.
All right.
I hope I answered all your questions. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's Joe, J-O-E at attypip.com.
Okay, I'll shoot you an email after the show today.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks.
All right, let's go to Allison in Kissimmee.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Pepin.
Good morning.
I'm calling. Can I make an appointment to come in your office to see you?
Sure, not right now on the radio, but just call my office and I'll give you the 800 number so anyone else that wants to do so can do likewise. It's 800 226
3529.
And go to just when you get the go to extension 200 and call Monday morning. The person that answers the phone would be glad to make an appointment for you.
Okay, and you are in Davenport.
I'm in Davenport on Mondays, yes.
Mm-hmm. On Mondays, okay. So I have to call on Monday?
But call on Monday. That's when the office opens for the receptionist.
Okay,
will
what
take
time are you hoping in the morning?
Well, the office opens at 8:30.
8:30 in the morning.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. We do have open lines. Love to talk to you. Let's go to Margaret in Lakeland.
Yes. I have a question about the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
We had it set up with you,
mm-hmm.
and I understood you to tell someone earlier that it has to be updated every 2 to 3 years.
No, it doesn't have to be. My recommendation is I send my clients a letter every 3 or 4 years. I mean, usually it's by the fourth year if I haven't met with them in 4 years. We send them a letter saying it'd be better to update your power of attorney / healthcare surrogate document to have a current date on it, because not financial and medical people sometimes will not honor an older document or make it more of a hassle to honor an older document. So it's good to have a current date on it.
Well, we haven't heard from you, so we didn't know if...
All right. Well, if you haven't heard from me, then it's been more than 4 years. Just call and make an appointment. I'll be glad to go over and review and get it updated if you want.
Are you still in Lakeland?
Yeah, I still have an office in Lakeland. Yes, ma'am. I'm there on Monday. Mondays are usually my Polk County day, so I'm usually spend part of my day in Lakeland and part in Davenport on Mondays. And Wednesdays, I'm in Sun City Center. Tuesdays, I'm generally in Largo. Tuesdays and Thursdays. And every other week, I'm in Jacksonville on Thursday or Friday, so as well.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Now, I have other more offices than that with other attorneys that man those offices. So we have offices in Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices in Trinity. We have offices in Lakewood Ranch. We have offices from St. Augustine to Jacksonville in that area. We have multiple offices. We have offices in Wesley Chapel area. Zephyr Hills. So we have several offices around the state of Florida, and we don't charge for first appointments. We have a toll-free number if you want to call to get scheduled for either review or discussion or to have documents prepared. 1-800 is a toll-free number, 226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. And if you have a legal question, it can be just about anything. We have 15 minutes or so left in the show, 17 minutes, and you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Jim in Bradenton.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Joe. I wanted to thank you for all the good you do with the radio show and everything.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
And I had a question. I had a problem. Do you know I'm having a fight with a doctor as far as payment. And do you know how long it is before they report that to a credit bureau?
Well, I don't. So how long would it take a doctor to report an unpaid bill to the credit bureau? Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a standard answer to that. I think every doctor is probably different. Every hospital administrator situation is probably different and depends on circumstances and what the bill is and what.
Well, It's a small bill, and you know, they just, I don't mind paying it even. I'm not sure I owe it, but I don't mind paying it. I don't want to pay it if I've been reported to the credit bureau, and they tell me, oh, you're not reported. I said, fine, just put that in a letter and send it to me, and I'll send you the check because I made out the check some time back, and they won't do that.
Well, there's ways you can check your own credit score with the three services to see if there's anyone has reported anything on you.
Yeah.
So maybe you could check that.
I don't know how up to date that would be.
Well, no, it's pretty current. I mean, I have some of the credit cards that people have, like myself, they give a free service. So, I mean, I can go check my credit report anytime I want to, and they offer a free service to do that, and they give me my credit score. So my credit score goes up or down. They have reasons as to why.
Uh-huh.
So you should be able to check your credit. There are even some free apps on your if I have a free app on my phone where I can check my credit score if I want to. It doesn't count as a search. That you have a lot of people searching, like if you go buy a new car or do a loan, and there's some hard searches on your credit that can affect, a number of searches can affect your score, but your own search doesn't.
Uh-huh.
So you have a computer?
Okay.
If you have...
No, I have access to one, yeah.
Well, you can just you can Google the websites that have free credit scores searches, and you'll be able to check it yourself.
Okay.
All right, Jim?
All right. Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Lena in Holiday.
Morning.
Good morning.
I have an easy question. I have, with your office, the trust and the will and everything like that.
Yes.
I had it done in, I think it was April 2017. Mm-hmm. How often does that have to be reevaluated if nothing has changed?
Well, a will and a trust and the deed probably we did of your home, none of that has to be changed unless you have changes. The changes...
No.
Yeah, I know, but the changes you might have or other listeners would be changing their order of trustees or changing the distribution or changing the distribution somehow. None of those changes, those major documents are fine. Your durable power attorney / healthcare surrogate document, I recommend every 3 or 4 years to update that. Now, I have clients that come in after 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's no urgent timeline on that. It's just good to have a current updated power attorney. At least
my
rule is about every 4 years, but it can be a little longer than that if you need to for it to be.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. We have about 12 minutes. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And let's go to Kathy in Sarasota.
Good morning. I enjoy your program every time I listen to it.
Well, thank
you.
I
have a kind of sad question. We have just become aware that a New York daughter is living through domestic violence. We live in Florida. I would like to question you, sir, on guardianship, because when we decide to address this and if she admits to it, We'd like to bring she and very small children down here. Does guardianship have to take place in New York or Sarasota, number one? And number two, does the father have to sign guardianship?
Yes. The father would have to sign guardianship. So let me ask you this. Is the daughter going to file charges, criminal charges?
Well, that's we have sadly found out is up to her. And so far, she's not.
Do they live together still?
Yes.
Okay. So no divorce proceedings or anything like that have been filed either?
No, sir. We're at the very beginning.
And
no, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. Are divorce proceedings going to be started in New York?
I can't answer that. It would be my hope.
Because it might be better for her, if she would vacate and come down here and live with you and bring the kids, she could file divorce proceedings in Florida, and then the jurisdiction of the kids could be Florida. You know, if she has to be here for 6 months, I believe, to file a divorce proceeding in Florida.
Okay.
So if she can separate herself for 6 months... Now, I'm not one to encourage divorce. I mean, so I'd probably encourage counseling.
Yes, I've seen your compassion and forgiveness throughout your shows.
Yeah, so, you know, she would, if they could both receive counseling and save their marriage, that would be the first goal. But if that's impossible and he's abusing her with violence, I mean, you have to then be concerned about her safety. And then you need to, as a parent, I would think you would need to want to take steps to protect her. And it seems like there should at least be some maybe separation of time. And then if maybe she separates herself and the husband goes on to do other things, the whole process would be a lot easier if she was a Florida resident, which means she'd have to be here 6 months before.
And when is the puzzle part of guardianship enacted? The divorce proceedings come first?
Well, in this case, it sounds like that would, you know, you should talk to my family law attorney, Catherine. You'd love her. She's becomes everybody's best friend during this whole difficult process, and she's very compassionate as
May
well.
May I have her information, please?
Well, you call my office, and you're calling from Sarasota, so I'll give you the 800 number too. 800-226-3529.
Yes, sir.
And go to extension 200, ask for Catherine, they'll transfer you to her number, and she can go through the pluses and minuses of what I just said, basically.
How do you spell her last name, please, sir?
H-U-L-T.
H-U-L-T.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, God bless you in your ministry. You've done this many, many years, and I hear you helping just everyone.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Carol. Hey, Carol, how are you today?
I'm fine. How about you?
Good. You're calling from Wisconsin?
Yes, we winter in Zephyr Hills, Florida.
Okay.
And I started listening to your show down there, and I listened to it online here. Anyway... I have a bachelor brother, and us four sisters are his beneficiaries. And I was wondering, as far as his house goes, is it best to put it in an irrevocable trust or a revocable trust?
Does he live in Florida?
Well, he lives in Wisconsin.
Okay. So I don't practice in Wisconsin. If I can answer it as a Florida, if he was a Florida, whoops, are you still there?
I'm still here. Yes.
Okay. If he was a Florida resident, I would say it would not be necessary to put it in an irrevocable trust because a homestead is a protected asset from creditors. So in Wisconsin, I'm not sure what the answer would be there, but the difference between a living trust and an irrevocable trust is you can always change, modify, or amend the living trust. And once you do an irrevocable trust, you've kind of made a gift where you no longer own the property. So I would think if a homestead, no matter where it was, it would be better in the living trust as opposed to an irrevocable trust. Now, if you're worried about him changing his mind and not leaving to the four sisters and somebody taking advantage of him to unduly influence him to do something else with his home, then that's another whole discussion about the circumstances of that and how to protect the home.
No, he wants to put the house in our name, and I don't know if it's best to put the house in our four names or to put it in a living trust.
Generally, I would tell, if he were my client, I would generally tell him not to gift it to the four sisters now, because that would involve getting the house appraised and getting the value to it and filing the gift tax return. So his choices would be generally to do, if he wanted to do something, he could do what's called a ladybird deed or a living trust.
Okay.
And the Wisconsin attorney, in Florida, I would favor the trust. In Wisconsin, the attorney, you know, you need to have a discussion with the attorney if he would favor the ladybird deed or a trust in Wisconsin.
Okay. And then I just have one other question. He mainly just has a lot of cash in his checking account.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of will or paper do you do so it doesn't have to go through probate?
Yeah, most of my clients do living trusts to avoid probate. And they put the homestead and their CDs, money market, checking, brokerage accounts in the trust to avoid probate. But the trustee can manage it for their benefit if they become incapacitated. So that's what most of my clients do.
So in other words, he should put his house and his cash in a living trust.
Yeah, if he were a Florida resident, I would say absolutely. If he's a Wisconsin resident, I would say he needs to just have a discussion like this with a Wisconsin attorney and come up with a plan.
Well, you've given me an idea, and I'll talk to an attorney with him about this.
All right, very good.
Thanks so much, and I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. Hey, I enjoy doing my show, and that's why I come in every Saturday morning. And also, we have other radio shows we do in the community. If you want more information about it, you could go to my website, which is attypip.com/radio. That's attypip.com/radio. We also, every other week, including today, do video. We're on webeamtv.com. And they have a whole variety of previous shows on their network, webeamtv.com network of Ask an Attorney. Also, if you have an iPhone, we have an iPhone app, just ATTYPIP, Attorney Joe Pippin, iPhone. No, I'm sorry, it's an Ask an Attorney app. Excuse me, it's Ask an Attorney. So if you go on an iPhone, it's Ask an Attorney. And they house, they might have a couple of years' worth of shows there on that app, the iPhone app. If you'd like to contact our office, we have a toll-free number. And the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. Also, I'd like to connect with you on either LinkedIn or Facebook, and we host WeBeam TV. They come in and film the show. I have a flash drive, take the flash drive to my IT person, and we carve out questions, individual questions, and post them either on one of my Facebook pages or the LinkedIn page. So you never know. Your question could be, the video is live on my part, but your voice could be on Facebook or LinkedIn with posing a question. And if you on Facebook, we have three pages. We have the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page. We have an Ask an Attorney page. And we have the Joseph Pippin page, personal page. And every week I delete people off of my friends in California that I don't know and add Florida residents to my personal page. And the Ask an Attorney and the Ask an Attorney of Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page, I don't think there's any limit on those, so we gladly accept you there as well. All right, if you'd like to get our free estate planning poster sheet, you could just email me or call the office. It's a full-size poster sheet on estate planning. It has all of our office information, contact information on there. So, again, the email address is joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. The toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Hey, you have a great weekend. Be safe. Be back next week the same time. You have a great week. So long.